Hello and welcome to the latest Pensions Expert podcast. The Supreme Court has ruled that Barnardo's cannot change the inflation protection it provides to members of its defined benefit scheme, from the Retail Price Index to the Consumer Price Index. Sponsors of the Children's Charity DB scheme had argued that the wording of a clause in its scheme rules allowed the trustees to switch from RPI to CPI. So what does the result mean for other DB pension funds and their sponsors? I'm Sophia Imeson, Associate Editor at Pensions Expert, and I'm joined by Matthew DeFerris, Pensions Partner at law firm Pinsent Masons, and Faye Jarvis, Pensions Partner at law firm Hogan Lovells. Faye, what can other schemes and employers learn from the recent Barnardo's outcome?
I think there's probably three takeaways. For those schemes that have actually got very similar wording to that in the Barnardo's scheme rules, then actually the judgment's really helpful because it gives them clarity over how you interpret their rules. Obviously, employers of those sorts of schemes might be disappointed because it means they can't move from RPI to CPI. I think it's also good news for all those schemes that have already made the switch, because actually the fact that the Supreme Court didn't make any comment or decide that it needed to find anything in relation to the impact of Section 67, where you've moved from RPI to CPI, is really helpful for those schemes because they don't have to revisit past decisions. And then I think it still means that we're still no further forward on the debate over whether RPI is the appropriate index for increasing pension benefits.
Matthew, in its judgment, the court deliberately avoided any discussion of whether RPI is appropriate as a measure of inflation. It also chose not to consider the impact on Barnardo's deficit. So does this mean that it purely comes down to the wording of the scheme rules?
That's right. The Supreme Court was very quick to dismiss arguments about whether RPI was an appropriate index for measuring inflation for pension schemes. There was a possible argument that could have been raised, which was that RPI, if it was inappropriate, should drive the interpretation of the scheme rules and mean that the interpretation that the trustees should have flexibility to switch away from RPI was an appropriate interpretation. But the court very quickly rejected that on the basis that it was a benefit of hindsight argument. It would have been necessary to project forward from the draftsman in the 1980s to the current debates about RPI, and that wasn't a reasonable basis to interpret the rules. So yes, it came down to the natural meaning of the scheme rules.
And would you say that further challenges are unlikely with regard to the Barnardo's case?
Well, in terms of Barnardo's specifically, we're at the end of the road with that case and that scheme. It would only be if there was an element of EU law that there could have been a possibility of further appeal, and the case didn't introduce any of those elements to make an appeal possible. However, it's definitely not the end of the road for similar type cases. The reasons for that are that there are very many variations on definitions and scheme rules for the index to be used for protecting benefits from inflation. And the choice of index can make a huge difference to the funding position of a scheme and impact on liability. So it's a very fertile area for pushing the boundaries and seeking new interpretations of rules. And we have the backdrop of increasing scepticism about whether RPI remains a fit-for-purpose index for pension schemes. In particular, we have the BT pension scheme case, which is specifically on the point of whether RPI remains an appropriate index, because the scheme rules in that case enable the trustees to switch away from RPI if it's considered to be inappropriate. So it's a matter of watching this space in terms of what happens with the BT pension scheme.
Faye, would you agree?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think there will still be further challenges, not in relation to Barnardo's, as Matthew said, but for other schemes. I think partly as well because it's a difficult decision for trustees to make the switch, because as the judge pointed out in Barnardo's and has been pointed out in the BA case, sometimes there will be decisions that favour the employer at the sort of expense of the members and vice versa. And this is one of those, potentially one of those decisions, at least, depending on what the employer is offering the scheme in return for the trustees making the switch.
So generally, what would you say the outlook is for other employers looking to switch from RPI to CPI, and what should pension scheme trustees consider?
So I think employers are going to continue to want to do this where they can. They'll continue to want to explore their scheme rules and see whether there is a power in there. We have some clarity, and I think some employers, there have been a number of cases, and so there's quite a few schemes now that probably do have clarity as to whether they have the power. So I think that will continue to be raised as a possibility by employers. I think the debate as to whether RPIs and appropriate index will continue. Clearly, the body of evidence is growing. There's been the ONS, the head of the ONS recently stating in Parliament that he felt that it was not appropriate and that he'd like to see it reformed. Though the governor of the Bank of England has said that might take 10 years, so that's not going to be a quick fix. And I think there's a House of Lords committee also investigating whether RPI is appropriate. So I think that debate will go on. And if there is some clear decision that RPI no longer remains appropriate, then that will be really helpful for both employers and trustees. But as I said, I think it is a difficult decision for trustees. There's lots of different factors that they need to weigh up and take into account. It does reduce the scheme liabilities, but members may feel they're being shortchanged because it also means that the increases they're likely to receive on their benefits will be lower. And so for trustees, having to explain that decision to their members is quite a difficult one. And so they might be looking for something from the employer to help them explain to members and say, well, actually, we've got some additional funding in, which makes everyone more secure. And therefore, we think that's the right approach to go. Some people also argue you've got to think about the purpose for which the rule was introduced, and arguably, and that was to ensure that members' benefits were protected against inflation. And they would say that actually CPI is the better measure of inflation, and therefore it's appropriate for you to, for trustees to look to move to that more appropriate measure. But you're back into the debate about what is the right measure for increasing pension benefits.
I'd agree with all of that. It's not necessarily bad news for employers because it does come down to what the particular scheme says. And many, many schemes don't need a court application to work out what the position is. It comes down to this question of whether the trustees having a power to switch index, whether they should do that. And then it's a question of whether the employer can persuade the trustees to make the change. I think that the two sort of main areas of consideration are the role of the trustees, and that's the really difficult legal point. Is it to make sure that benefits are adequately protected from inflation, or is it to actually enhance them in a context where RPI is seen as providing a benefit that goes over and above inflation protection? And then the other area is what members' expectations may be. So it's necessary to look back through past communications and see whether members have been led to believe that forever and a day RPI will be entrenched in the scheme rules.
Thanks, Matthew. Thanks, Faye. For more on RPI and CPI, please visit pensions-expert.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.